Let's go to Acts chapter 20. This is Acts Alive part 60. Believe it or not, we've been following along with the apostle on quite a journey. We left the apostle last week in the middle of a very deep and heartfelt time with the Ephesian elders. People he had fathered in the Lord, people for whom he had poured out his entire life and spirit. And last week, we looked at the fact, really, that Paul could go through all these things, the difficulties in the past, the difficulties that faced him in the future, because, if you recall the quote, he did not count his life dear to himself. How many remember that very painful phrase? I don't know if it was as painful for you as it was for me, but I have to admit that my life is often way too dear to myself. And sometimes there is the struggle, therefore, with God, because I count my life too dear, more important than his purposes sometimes. So here we are. Paul comes to the close of his third missionary or apostolic journey. And we'll begin in verse 24. We'll pick it up where we left off. But none of these things move me. Remember, Paul was warned that he would have trouble when he went forward on his next phase of journey. In Jerusalem, bonds and chains await him. But none of these things move me, Paul says. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Please read the next phrase. I'm reading New King James out of Acts 20, verse 24. So that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. How many in this room understand something very simple? God has a plan for your life. Come on, church. You know that God's got a plan for your life? How many find it just completely very easy always to figure out what it is? Isn't that where the rubber hits the road sometimes? It's hard. It's hard. Sometimes, don't you wish God would just come right down, give you a map and say, there's your journey. Do. Walk it. Just do it. Do this plan. Wouldn't that be easier? Yeah. God wouldn't tell you when you're going to get through the county, see? Yeah, we face those ourselves as a church, don't we? God would tell you all those things, but it doesn't happen like that. How many remember the servant of Abraham, I believe it was, who was going to look for a wife for his son? And God prospered the servant's journey. And remember what the servant quoted? It's a wonderful quote. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being not in the way, but in the way in which I should walk. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Scripture says the steps of a, come on, quote it with me, of a good man and woman are what? Ordered of the Lord. Let's say that real bold. Come on, you can do it with me. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Somehow that tells me, if you look at the preponderance of Scripture and you build your doctrine that way, you look at what's the Scripture, the overarching perspective of Scripture, somehow the theme that comes through is, as I walk with God day by day, as I'm faithful to Jesus day by day, as I love Him, as I respond to Him, as I walk with Him, He will continue to guide and lead and put into my heart the things that I should do, and I want to please Him. Anybody in this room want to please Jesus? Come on, a hearty amen. I want to please Him. I want to please Him. I want to do His will. And you know, we talked about this before, the old pinball machines. How many used to love playing those old pinball machines? Pull back on that baby and bang, 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 bang. That's how it feels like guidance is sometimes, doesn't it? You know, bang, 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 bang. Eventually, I end up in the right hole. I end up going where God wants me to go. As I stay sensitive, as I stay listening, as I ask Him to dig out my ears, that's a phrase from Scripture, Lord, dig out my ears that I may hear You. Your still small voice, drop into my spirit what it is You want me to do. Bob Mumford used to say that 99% of the dealings of God you had to look back over your shoulder at to understand. You had to look back over your shoulder at to get a perspective of what God was doing. Ever been through a tough situation and you wonder where God went? What is it you are doing? Ever, maybe I should ask it this way. Ever been out of a situation like that? It seems like that. God, what are you doing? Sometimes we look back over our shoulders to understand. I want to finish my race. I want to finish my course. We walk with God and we keep going. Circumstances aren't always good, but we keep going. Please understand, each of you here this morning, you are uniquely gifted by God for a race that is set before you. It's not just a race at which you're a bystander. You are running a race with your life. You are in the plan of God or not. You are either on His plan or not. You either know His plan or don't. That doesn't mean you know the end and you know every situation, but you know you're walking with God. And if you don't, come give your life to Jesus and surrender fully and ask Him to take over the reins. But it's not always easy. But you are uniquely gifted for your purpose on earth. You do have a purpose. Are you just living for retirement, or are you building the kingdom of God on earth? Come on, church, I asked you a question. Are you just living for retirement, or are you building this kingdom on earth? We're trying to build your kingdom, Lord. We're trying to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Can I talk to you for a minute? This is not in reaction to anything outside of simple statement of something to be cautious about and watch for. I believe that what we are seeing in this day is a greater temptation to live for self than ever before. You go to the bookstores, you go to the DVDs, you go to the seminars, and it is all about being the best you can be. Now, that's not wrong. To fulfill the gifts God has got on you, to hone those gifts, to use them for His glory is one thing. But to use them for an end of becoming all you can be is the temptation, even in a lot of Christian teaching. Self-actualized. Be yourself. Okay, there's nothing wrong with some of that. There's a portion of truth. But when you come to the kingdom of God, the issue is surrender to His hand. And then He will make you what He wants you to be to fulfill His plan. You can either choose event living or day by day walking with Jesus. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but there's a lot of Christians and a lot of Christianity. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying it's where the rubber hits the road. There's a lot of people that either live for the event and would rather live for the event than get serious about living in the trenches every day with solid, sincere Christianity. Look, do you know what we have in a church? You know why the local church is God's expression? Because the local church is where you walk it out. You look at me, I look at you. We rub each other sometimes wrong. We get to ask each other's forgiveness. We get to be more like Jesus together. We get to help watch over one another's lives. When you come for just a big meeting and a big gathering, oh, it's a glorious time. And what happens a lot of times is you get critical of the local church and you get taken out of the local church instead of saying, wait a minute, it's that commitment in the trenches where we walk this thing out. I can go to the big meeting in Seattle all day long. I can go to the great concerts all day long. But that's not going to change my life as much as walking in the trenches day by day with you and me. Because you get to look at me and say, love you. Is that really what you should be doing? Don't say that to me. And I get to look at you and say, love you. Is that really the way you're supposed to be living? You follow what I'm saying? It's living it out day by day. Events are nice. Going to the mountaintops, nice. Glorious experiences, nice. But it's living day by day that makes the reality in bringing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And there is a huge temptation for Christianity, a huge temptation for Christianity and the Church of Jesus Christ to become event-driven rather than walking with Jesus daily-driven. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Kevin. This is exciting stuff. Church, we've had some events. You know what? Interesting stuff about events. Everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel. You have some great events. You work hard. Everybody's exhausted. Next Sunday, pretty typically right back to the same people he had the Sunday before that event. After a while, in the ministry, you sit there and go, I'm not so sure I want to keep doing events. All it does is exhaust my people. Let's just keep walking with Jesus day by day. Now, doing events is not wrong. It's not bad because it does give up, lifts up a flag. It gives an opportunity to invite some people come to church that are never at church. No problem. But it's how your dedication, it's how your commitment is lived. Some people might not like this, but this is who I am. Serious Christianity. I like to laugh too. I like to laugh more than we did the first joke, so I like the pet one better. Okay, I like to laugh. But this is, how do I say this to you? Guys, I'm a real estate broker. That's my tent making. Most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. Him and His kingdom. Do I do it perfect? No. Do I want to keep changing? Yeah. Do I want to lose some weight? Yeah. Okay, that has nothing to do with it. But it's living day by day that makes a difference. This is a huge issue. And I don't know how to express it any better, and I think I'm not doing justice to the point. But I pray you understand. At Grace Christian Center, we have a motivation and a purpose to help bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. To live this thing in a real way. To seriously love Him, love each other, and to be committed, and to reach out to others, and to do everything we can to stop other people from going to hell. Serious business. My commitment to you as your pastor is to be far more than an event-driven man. We will enjoy the events when they come, but it's living life in the trenches of Christianity every day that makes a difference. Now, let me tell you one other thing that the events do to Christianities and churches. They take talented people out of the congregation, and they pop them somewhere where everybody looks at stars and becomes star makers. And they go, you know, the church can't do it as well as my event does it. Be careful, will you please? Because we can all run around to events, but it's living in the trenches every day that makes a difference. It's being together Thursday night to share the Word of God from my heart and your heart together, where we rub one another and we learn to sharpen one another, strengthen each other. It's being here Sunday morning. It's talking about what God said to you during the service. It's being together and living Jesus Christ together. See? You see what I'm saying? It's that kind of perspective. That's who we are. Okay? It's knowing how Michael and Molly are doing day by day and praying for them as they're trying to get through the county. It's knowing your issues and walking with you day by day. Okay? I know I'm going on a long time about that, but folks, we have decisions to make in Christianity. What kind of Christian will we be? Remember, I ask you that every year. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of church do you want to be? Okay, let's move on, Pastor Kevin. This is serious stuff. Please hear my heart. Paul says, I want to finish my course. I want to run my race. I want to help build the church of Jesus Christ. I want to help us understand that surrender to Jesus has a purpose and a plan. To fulfill that plan and that destiny. There is a teleos, the Greek word teleo, it means something to complete, something to accomplish, something to communicate and consummate. I want to finish. I want to consummate this course. The Greek word dromos, and it means a race. We are literally running a race. I need to complete it. I don't need to just start this thing. I need to finish it. How will you run? How will you run this race? All right, the Greek word, Paul says, I want to run this race with joy. How many want joy? Let me see a show of hands. How many like a little more joy in your life? The Greek word kara. Kara means cheerfulness and delight. Paul is saying, I don't count my life as dear. I count God's plans as dear. And it's that I want to take my joy in. I want to take my joy in God's people and in God's house and in God's word. I want to take my joy in living my life for Jesus. I want to finish that course. I want to do what he's called me to do. I want to share that gospel of grace. Look at each other and say the word good news. Good news. Gospel of grace is good news. You ever hear the phrase, I think it was Shakespeare, wasn't it? Parting is such sweet sorrow. Didn't Shakespeare say that? Okay. Thank you. Not John Denver. Shakespeare. That's right. That's an ongoing joke around here. All right. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Let's look at verse 25. Verse 25. And indeed, the Father's heart here, the apostolic heart. Again, I hope that you see something in Paul's life that is different than maybe what we all thought it was. I used to think of Paul, sincerely, I did. I thought, just a hard dude. He wasn't just a hard dude. He was a father. He cared. He poured his whole heart and soul out so people could come to Jesus. Verse 25, indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Paul knows in his knower that his 3 years are up in Ephesus and it's time for him to go. He's preached, he's taught, he's labored. He's been so concerned that they walk with God. Now he knows he'll never see some of these people again. But how he leaves them is absolutely crucial. Let's go to verses 26 through 28. How he leaves them, he has instructions to give them. Therefore I testify to you this day, verse 26, that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 27, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To what? What's your next word in verse 28? To feed, okay. New King James says, to shepherd. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Some people think that shepherding is an anathema in the body of Christ. The Bible calls pastors to nurture, feed, shepherd the flock of God. It is not a wrong perspective. He has warned, he has obeyed God's word to reach out to Jew and Gentile alike. He has not refused the leading of the Spirit. He has not failed to warn. The difficulty when you warn, how many of you know it's not fun when you're more burdened for someone's soul than they are? That's not fun. That's not fun as a pastor to come up to you and say, I'm burdened for your soul. How are you doing? Usually that returns a wonderful swift kick. Please get out of my life. Or if they don't say that to you right at that point, they go to say that to everybody else after you're gone because you bothered to shepherd and nurture their soul. Don't you know? It's fun stuff, isn't it? It's really fun being a pastor, I'll tell you, boy. Okay, smile. It's all right. Lighten up. It's okay. Sometimes it's fun being a pastor. All right. Some people, honestly, some people are just interested in doing their own thing. Some people just get off my case. I don't want anything. I don't want any commitment. Fine, that's your choice. I'm not here to put any choice on you. But I am here to tell you God's way is not that way. Make commitment. Come to Jesus. Run after him. Surrender to him. He's got a plan for your life. Live it. Run for it. Vibrantly be changed and keep being changed and growing and walk with God. Isn't that the fun of life? Not always. But thank God in the body there is joy and in the church there is help. And we love each other as we walk the journey. That's how it's to be lived. Man, that's not easy. How many, let's just show of hands, how many of you think it's easier for me than for you? Good, I'm preaching to the right group. You know it's not easier for me. But we're all in this together. The kingdom of God is worth living for. And some people don't want it. You can't force it on people. But we have to warn. We have to obey Jesus. Try to reach the heart, soul, and life. Paul said, I am free and pure from the blood of all men. I have done what I can do to preach the truth, and now it's up to you to accept or reject. But we have to warn, we have to try, to do what we can. All right, what does he say? These are his instructions. Now I'm getting ready to go, and I've got this heart to pour out to you. I have been with you day and night in crying and tears and fastings and prayer and joy and rejoicing for 3 years. Here are my final instructions to you, elders. Number one, I want you to understand I am free from the blood of all men. Number two, I want you to take heed to feed. Take heed to feed, nurture, shepherd, and care. But he says, first of all, take heed to yourself. That's why I was honest with you last week. That's why I stand here sometimes and I don't try to say, yeah, I'm perfect at all this. You know I'm not. Okay? It's just as difficult. Temptations are just as real. And my life sometimes is too dear to me. But I say those things because my first responsibility is to take heed to my life before the Lord so that I can help take heed for yours. I have no ministry if I don't respond to Jesus myself. Okay? Ever been to a church where all was legalistic preaching and never heard anything about the heart or soul of the person, man or woman, who were in the pulpit and made you feel guilty every time you breathed? Come on. Have you ever been there? That's not the way to live. We take heed to ourselves first. And then we take heed to help you. All right? So, the church of God. Why is it so important? Why is this stuff so important? How many of you understand the phrase in this scripture is powerful? This is called, and we're an expression of it, and a little part of it, the church of God. Say it with me. The church of God. The church of God. It's not just Kevin's church, Ralph's church, Joy's church, Ralph's church, and Royal's church. I'll get there. Royal Journey's church. It's not just Carl and Sherry's church. It's the church of God. Why is this thing so important? Why are you so passionate about this? Because it's the church of God. Jesus shed his blood on a cross to help us come in, learn how to be his people, walk his way. Why are you so serious about this stuff, Pastor Kevin? Because it's the church of God. It's not my church. You want to know what it looked like if it was my church? We'd all be in cutoffs every Sunday. And I wouldn't tan if it were my church. and we'd enjoy the sunshine. And we'd be out having a great time. And I'd be guitar picking all day long. And my voice would never wear out. That's what it'd be like in my church. But it's God's church. So sometimes we have some serious things to talk about. And we get into the Word. And we do our best to worship. And we grow. It's his church. It's important stuff. So I take heed to feed the church of God. By the way, that's an opposite message. Taking heed to yourself is an opposite message of your life being dear to you, because taking heed to yourself means that you examine yourself. The church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. People should be able to know that when you come to church, when you hear the Bible, it's been sought out, searched, researched, and carefully prepared for a nourishing meal. It's not light. Verses 29 and 30. The word 10, by the way, means to watch over, nourish, and protect. 29 and 30. For this I know, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. Church, do you know that's the root of a gossip, backbiting spirit? Do you know that's the root of it? If I'm a backbiter and a gossiper, I want to draw you after me. I want to draw you after my conclusion, my side, my way. What I want to do, what we want to do as we pastor this church and as we lead this church, you can talk to anybody who's involved in it, we want to help lead you to Jesus. We want to lead you to the Word of God. We want to lead you to the church where you can be strengthened and committed. Yeah, you know, Caesar's talking about volunteers here this morning. You know where you find your gifts expressed best? Find them in the local church, the commitment to God and the expression of the church, where your gifts can be freely released, where you can volunteer and serve outside together and not argue all day long. That a discouraging word was heard all day probably on that crew on Wednesday, right? Even though it was raining, right? Okay, we won't hold them to that. All right, but in the church is where the gifts can be expressed. And we build the church, and we bring other people, and God adds others with different gifts, and the church grows, and people are strengthened. The local church is God's answer to the world today. The local church is supposed to be the expression of Jesus in the earth. Don't you know? Amen? Let me hear you say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Why do you come to church? Socially acceptable. Huh? So I can say amen while Pastor Kevin preaches. We're the expression of Jesus. And we learn how to grow and be more. Paul was jealous in his final words to the Ephesian brethren. Watch out, because there will be wrong-spirited people rise up who want to take you after themselves, not sparing the flock. Look at the fruit in a life. Not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves shall enter in. Grievous, burdensome, not sparing, not being lenient. That's the Greek word there, not being lenient. And they speak perverse things. That's literally what the scripture says. They speak perverse things, twisted, distorted, error-filled things in order to draw disciples after them. The key to look for is you look for fruit in a teaching, in a church. Is it solid? Is it truth? Does it bear fruit? Is it good and is it working in their lives? Did it bring me closer to Jesus? Did it build me in closer to my church? Is it appealing to my pride, appealing to my gifts, appealing to me, or is it calling me to a higher way of living the way God wants me to live? What kind of fruit is there? Commitment wanes in home churches oftentimes because a lot of people nowadays become event-driven. Amen? Follow what I'm saying? The message of the wolves today, please yourself. You're the most important thing. Instead, you look at Paul's preaching, you look at the preaching of the Scripture, run your race. Surrender your life. Build the church. Pour your life out to other people. Oh, isn't that fun preaching? Somebody say amen. All right. Now, I want to look at the final words Paul gives to these elders that confirms this whole point. And it's called give life away. Look at each other and say, give life away. Acts 20, 31 through 35. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day, night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those, all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, please say it with me, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says, I want you to watch. I want you to be diligent. I've been on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, praying, supporting, leading, helping with tears, with laughter, with joy, with sorrow. I've been commending you to the word of his grace, the word of God that builds up. Once again, isn't it beautiful? It's the word of his grace. That good news that builds you, releases you, sets you free, gives you a new day. We've walked with Paul. We've labored with Paul. We've been shipwrecked with Paul. We've been left for dead with Paul. We've been stoned with Paul. We've been run out of town with Paul. And he keeps getting up and going back. Keeps getting up and going back. Keeps getting up and going back to build the church of Jesus Christ. Because he's got a father's heart with an apostle's heart that's broken. He wants to see the people saved, filled with the Spirit, planted in a life-giving church, loving Jesus, loving each other, and loving the grace of God. And it concludes, final words to these people. He's been with them day and night for 3 years, and his final words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Give life away. Give Jesus away. Give, give, give. This is not the heart of a hard taskmaster, but a friend who cares. In verses 36 through 38, if you'll turn to that scripture, we're almost done. Verses 36 through 38, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. At the very end of life, when it's all said and done, the only thing that will account for anything is the relationships. It's not how big your house is. It's not the kind of car you drive. It's how many people did you give life away to on the journey? How did you help? How did you build relationships? Paul spent 3 years in this place pouring his heart and soul out to these people who he loved so dearly. Didn't have time on the way to Jerusalem to go back up, and so he comes to Miletus. And he pours his soul out to the elders who know his heart. And now he knows, I won't see you again. Have I given you enough to help you live? Have I given you enough to help you walk with Jesus? Have I given you enough that now that I'm off the scene, and you know that grievous wolves will come in, there's competition for your soul, don't you know? There's all sorts of people who want you to follow them. That have I given you enough to help you love Jesus for all of your days? So Paul says, I must finish my course, but he can look at you and say, have I given you enough so you can finish your course with joy and with love? Give life away. There was a story of a man, a Vietnam vet, Daniel, a Vietnam vet who was a fighter pilot in Vietnam, Navy pilot actually. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed, finally, by a surface-to-air missile. And this man named Charles Plum ejected out of his plane, and he parachuted right into enemy hands. He was captured. He spent the next 6 years in a communist Vietnamese prison. He survived the ordeal, and he's a real man. He actually now goes around and he gives lectures on the lessons that he learned from his experience. One day, when Charles Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, you're Plum. You flew Navy jet fighters in Vietnam on the carrier Kitty Hawk, and you were shot down. Plum looks at him and he goes, how in the world do you know that? The man looks at him very sincerely and says, I'm the one who packed your parachute. The man pumped his hand. And he said, I guess it worked. Charles Plum stood there and looked at him for a while and thanked him profusely, walked away, and that night he couldn't sleep. So he tossed on his bed and just thought about the man. Thought about what the man looked like many years earlier when he was younger, and his white hat and his Navy uniform and a bib in the back and bell-bottom trousers. And he thought to himself, how many times did I walk right by this guy? Because you see, I was a fighter pilot. He was just a sailor. Thought of the many hours that this man spent at a long wooden table deep in the belly of a boat in a ship, packing the silk in just the right way, weaving the shrouds, holding in his hands the fate of this man named Charles Plum that he didn't even know. The question this morning, and that he asked, is who's packing your parachute? I have some people on television that I love to watch. Great preachers and teachers, news commentators, comedies, music. But you know, not a one of them is packing my parachute. You here are. You're praying for me. And I'm helping pack yours. That's the family of God. Paul concludes 3 years with the Ephesus bishops and elders by basically saying, no matter what you do, I want you to keep packing each other's parachute. I want you to be in a family where people watch out for you. Get rid of the wolves and help each other stand strong. I want you to love the flock of God. and build God's church. That's the heart of the apostle. They fall on his neck, they cry, and they say goodbye. Can we pack each other's parachute today? Practically, this week, can you let the Lord put some people from this room, some others you know who need prayer on your heart? Will you pray? Will you stand with and encourage, and somebody comes on your heart, give them a call, think about them, pray for them, encourage them on the journey? We know there's lots of bad news, and the journey isn't always easy. But it's awfully good to be in a family where we can pack each other's parachute. Amen. Father, we thank you for being so good. You know, I'm just grateful for this man named Paul. I'm grateful that he poured his heart out to a group of people from Ephesus. I'm grateful for lessons of life, contrast with today, and the spirit of the age. I'm grateful for these people here who choose to come here on Sundays and encourage each other in the weeks. Father, I'm grateful that together we can walk with you, as it's so serious at times, but we get to help each other along the way. So we keep being conformed to your image, and we keep bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, I pray today that you will bless these precious people. As we go forward from this place, help us to remember your word and how good you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen.